And we're back, the Great Divide Podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Alan Jacoby. I have somebody very special with me I'm excited about. Joe Hoft, contributing author and editor of the Gateway Pundit, brother of the founder, Jim Hoft, twin brother, as a matter of fact, of the founder of the Gateway Pundit, one of my favorite all-time news outlets. Joe, thanks for being here. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you could make it. So you have a new book out. This is volume two. It's a two-part series, unless you're coming out with more. The Steal, Volume 2, The Impossible Occurs, all about the rigged and stolen 2020 selection, because I don't call it an election anymore, of Sleepy Joe Biden. So I guess let's get right into, the 2020 selection and what sparked the book and the background behind it. I guess, you know, both volumes, if you'd like. Yeah, take us into it and let's rock.
Great, Alan. Thanks for having me. Yeah, maybe I could just start off kind of share the Gateway Pundit story for some of your listeners who may not know it, because that's how I got involved. Jim started the site in about 2004, and it was just Jim. And he did that about 10 posts a day for years, every day, 10 posts. And he started getting some, I call them some kisses along the way. Somebody would link to him or stuff like that that would just fire him up. And then he had a couple groups that actually paid and flew him across the ocean. He went to Israel once and the Czechoslovakia another time because they liked what he was doing. They wanted to share some things with him. And so that all just kept him going. He wasn't making a lot of money, but he was getting some real positives out of it the whole time he was working full time. And so this was his dream, I guess. And so then Jim's working on the Gateway Pundit. I'm over here. I'm in the corporate world. I've tell you a little bit about myself. I've got I've earned 10 degrees in designations. I worked for a corporate U.S. corporation, Fortune 500 company. I was in finance and auditing predominantly. I ran the financial reporting for multi-million and billion-dollar entities, and then I was asked to go over to Hong Kong and create an audit team over there for this corporation, which I did, and I was there about 10 years. So while I'm in Hong Kong, you know, the 2016 election comes, and Jim's building the Gateway Pundit. It's growing and growing, and every year it just got bigger and bigger. And we both talk, you know, about every day. And one day we were talking about how Ted Cruz, there's no way he's going to be in the race anymore. I told Jim, because there's just not enough delegates left. He's just not going to have the number after. And I even nailed the date. So he asked me to write it up. I did. And that evening, Drudge Report put it up. Wow. And back then, Drudge was a good guy, you know. Yes. And you got hit with Drudge, and that brought in some volume. And so anyways, I was thrilled, and I started writing from that point forward. So here I am. I've got a corporate position over in Asia, and my real fun is writing a post at the Gateway Pundit every night. And that's what I did through the election, and we were both thrilled when Trump won. The main thing we jumped on the Trump campaign for was because, well, he had some balls. He stood up to he stood up to Hillary, and he stood up to the media. And I really loved it that he was standing up to this media, because seeing what Jim was doing and seeing what they were reporting, it was real clear to me. These guys are not telling the truth at all. And so it was Trump was just so refreshing to have somebody who's going to speak his mind. He doesn't give a damn about what people think. And he said some things that, you know, he brought so many topics to the table we weren't even talking about. You know that.
Yes.
So we jumped on the Trump train for sure, and we're thrilled when he was elected. And then I wrote a lot about the Mueller exam after that and how corrupt it was. I mean, the thought just crossed my mind as I'm sharing with you. So I'm an auditor, and to be an auditor and to do an audit of anything, you've got to be independent. You know, if your wife works for the company or is in this department, you got a friend, you cannot take on that engagement. It's against, you know, you might as well not do the audit.
It's unethical in a sense, I guess.
Absolutely. And there's some pretty strict rules about that. With the Mueller exam, these guys should have been held at a higher standard, you know, than auditors, you know, and these guys all hated Trump. I mean, they're at Hillary's, inauguration party. They never, none of them qualified to be on that team. in an ethical, you know, investigation.
You mentioned being an auditor and people being unbiased and obviously just like investigations, you can't do an investigation if you're biased. Like I spoke on my show last night. I did a live show and I spoke about the Fox article that was out. The disgraced FBI agent, was it? I think Peter Stork, I believe is his name.
Strzok.
And you know who he's married to and the tweets he put out. I mean, literally, he's one. He shares a very rare distinction of being a federal government employee that was fired for performance for what he did during that investigation and during the whole Mueller probe. So right there is a great example.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, we wrote about him over and over again. This guy's such a creep, just creepy. As a matter of fact, we wonder if he's not just, if he actually came out with this a couple of weeks ago, was he a CIA and not FBI? Did they insert him into the FBI so that they could actually, you know, use him and label him as FBI when he really was CIA? And if that's the case, Trump demanded that Sessions fire this guy. So when this guy was fired, was he fired from the FBI? And how could he be if he wasn't a member of the FBI? So that all may be sitting out there that we don't know yet. But this guy is creepy. And you mentioned his wife. I think his wife's one of the top people at the SEC. She's actually in charge of investigations now. So it's just outrageous.
Lisa Page, I believe.
Yeah, just horrible. So,
but now he's a contributor, a regular contributor for CNN and MSNBC. They have him on as an expert, senior FBI agent. He's been on about 15 times between the two of them since the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago.
Wow!
So it's amazing. Oh,
he's so disgusting and so dishonest and just a real piece of work. He needed to be fired. See, here's the thing. If we digress into this a moment, the FBI raid, by the way, I went down there that day. I was so disgusted. I drove down and I walked around and to see a big SUV parked in our president's driveway in the entrance to his home and two people with looked like machine guns on each side. I just said to myself, how can this be? This is my country. What's going on here? It's not like foreign invaders have come to the president's home. No, it's our FBI. And it was just really eerie. And I said, you know, this is the day that America changed. It was so disgusting. But we wrote about that. Well, why did they go there? And one theory that we have is they went there, and it's all over the news now, is that they went there to steal the documents from Trump. But more importantly, if they get these documents and take them away from Trump, because Trump's suing all these guys. He's specifically suing James Comey, McCabe, two guys that were fired, Strzok, who was fired, Lisa Page, who wasn't fired, and this other guy, Kleinsmith, who was indicted. He's suing them in a case, specifically, and Hillary and some others. And the thought is if they take away these documents, then in his suit against these guys, the FBI can say, oh, you can't use that information. It's part of our special investigation into you, Mr. Trump. And so, just some real destructive, dishonest, and terrible people that are running our government right now. Just, it's horrible.
It's true. It's like a third world country. I mean, literally, they're weaponizing federal agencies, federal law enforcement agencies against their political opponents because they know that the big bad orange man is going to run for president again. And they want to try to do anything they can to stop it. The January 6th committee is falling on their face. They can't. That's all coming to light, too. I believe you guys wrote about that as well. Nothing is going to happen there. And now, but I mean, they're hoping for an indictment. Me personally, I think they're going to get an indictment for something, where it goes, who knows. But people also have to realize if Donald Trump does get indicted, and even if he had to plea to a crime, he can still run for president of the United States. I mean, this is just a political smear, obviously. And like you said, maybe he has lawsuits. And what does he have also that maybe they were looking for that could incriminate people that he, you know, was going to expose or possibly expose in the FBI, you know, from Comey to who knows. And they took his passports. They went through the first lady's closet. I mean, they were there 2 weeks before and knew that he had a lock. I think they told him the type of lock to have. Like, none of it makes sense. It's bizarro world, but they will spin it. Oh, look, Donald Trump, former president, he's a traitor. He's corrupt.
He's so disgusting.
It's unbelievable.
Well, it is. Especially when you put it in context with everything else that's gone on. I mean, first of all, the Russia for 3 years. We knew it was garbage. And like I said, the very first thing is who's doing the investigation. And when you got a bunch of far, far left biased people doing it, that never should have happened. Yeah. And Trump had every right to really fire everybody off that investigation, get some real people in there. But there was this political move. And that's what these sly people, if they could spend their energy helping this country instead of doing these dastardly deeds, God, where could this country be? We'd be on Neptune by now, you know? Yeah. Instead, we're fighting these just real criminals that are using all their energy to steal this country. It's really sick what's going on.
And you wrote about it, the deep state, the establishment, the swamp, which Donald Trump fought very hard to expose and to show what it was. And he did, because so whether you love him or hate him, he woke up so many people. People were starting to wake up during the Obama administration, even before that. But Donald Trump really got people who weren't paying attention to anything political going on in the country. He got them to pay attention. And I've been told that by many people, young people that maybe didn't even vote or didn't care. And then when he started talking and exposing things and showing things for what it was and the legacy media and how corrupt they were, they're all news actors. People really said, you know what? Let me start asking questions. Let me start doing some rational thinking. Let me start questioning everything. Because that's what I always promote on my show is like decentralized media. And I want to talk about that with you. But you went from being an auditor at Fortune 500 company. You're in Hong Kong for years. You're writing for your brother's news outlet, which took off and is tremendous now. And of course, the mainstream media attacks that. I mean, you Google the Gateway Pundit, and I love how it comes up. Far right, conspiracy theorist, news outlet. It makes me laugh every time I read it. And then you go into writing, for the Gateway Pundit to writing books. What made you sit down and say, I want to put pen to paper and write about what's going on with the election?
Yeah, well, a lot of it was that we were just writing it anyway. So I was kind of right place, right time. I retired in mid 2000, came back to the States, and then started writing full time with Gateway Pundit. And here I was with a pretty great skill set to start digging into this election, because this thing needed to be audited. And that's really why I did this. I'm like, we need an auditor to do this. And there haven't been many to even take part in any pieces of this stolen election, let alone the entire thing. So we were writing about it, and I just decided I need to write a book, because this stuff's shocking. And so I wrote the first book, and that was the things leading up to the election, setting the stage, big media, big tech, the deep state, all the China, all these things that led to the election. One thing I try to share a lot, Alan, is that I'm the only guy that I know of that kept tallies of all the rallies for Trump and Biden. I did this with Hillary 4 years prior, with Hillary and Trump, because Trump was just crushing Hillary. So we did it again. And this time it was just an absolute whitewash, man. This thing was unbelievable. Trump ended up with 1.1 million people at his rallies between Labor Day and the election day. Joe Biden, less than 2,000 people.
I mean, 81 million votes, Joe.
It just doesn't make sense, right? So it's just crazy. So you couldn't make this stuff up. So that was one thing that it's just like, how does this guy get 81 million? He can't even get 2,000 people at his rally. And then we saw it again on inauguration. If you remember that, there was these foreigners up there on this tall building from across the street, and they're just shocked. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. The only people there were like the politicians and their families. Nobody else was there.
And their excuse was they had to close it down for COVID.
Isn't it? What garbage. There was nobody there. If they wanted to be there, they would have been there. Nobody liked Joe Biden. He had no enthusiasm in there. And so anyways, I started writing about this thing right after the election. And I feel like with my skill set, I come in with a pretty good resume to talk about this. Unlike these scoundrels in our mainstream media, they some of them, maybe they have journalism degrees. I don't know what that is even. But Jim and I have talked about it in the past. They can't count. They don't know numbers. They don't have a clue. When Biden does a thing like he did yesterday on student loans, they all cheer because they don't understand money doesn't, you know, doesn't grow on trees. And the rest of the country has to pay for this. So that's the liberal world of, you know, fantasy. And, you know, we're all pretty tired of it. So anyways, we ended up, we ended up moving forward. I had, sorry, a little interruption there. So one thing that the first chapter that really stuck out was this tweet by Scott Adams. And Scott Adams, he's the guy that created Dilbert. And he came out. We all fell in love with this guy in 2016, right? He loved Trump and we loved him and he was great. And we were all happy when Trump won. And he came up in 2020, a month after the election. He says this. He says, "Hey, everything else is fantasy. Nothing else matters. When they prevented us from walking in and seeing what the heck was going on in Detroit, Philadelphia, and all these facilities, when we were forcefully prevented from going in there, the election was over. And nothing else matters. It doesn't matter." And he's so right. And I think about this and I say, you know, when I've done audits and I've done them around the world, maybe 300 audits around the world, I have never had somebody shut the door on me, prevent me from walking in, or say, "You're not welcome here." Never. Most people are very happy to have me come in. They're a little nervous maybe, but most people are just, they if there's something wrong, they want to know because they want to get it fixed. Right. And that's the mature individuals that, you know, that get audits. And that happened all over in multiple cultures. But to see what happened there was, you know, is truly the election needed to stop. We probably needed at that point, because we couldn't count any of those ballots that were involved in that. You could not count. They've been tainted. They're no longer good. And they should have probably started over and redone it. And that's the tragedy with the mindset that was going on with the media and the leftists and the Republican leadership and all these people saying, "We've got to get this thing done now. It's got to be done now." No, that was the wrong answer. This thing was tainted. The results were not certifiable. Either don't certify them, or which isn't fair to the rest of the country, or just do them over. And that's what needed to be done, and it wasn't. And so chapter after chapter in my second book, I go through the various things that happened, and I end with this. This election never should have been certified, and because of that, you know, I share this at the beginning to President Trump. Because of that, it was stolen. And President Trump responded to me after my first book. I sent him a copy. And he says, "Joe, you know, great job." And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, you know, "Yes, that you're very accurate, well written. And yeah, we know it and they know it. The election was of 2020 was stolen." He goes, "I look forward to your next volume." And so that's what's out now. And it came out last week. And the first chapter is about, you know, there's no way you should certify this. And then I talk about the absentee ballots. We all know the story about 2,000 mules.
Yeah.
And but beyond that, the thing with that is the fact that there's no chain of custody. The law requires that every ballot that comes in, you know where it came from. Right. And we don't have that for millions of ballots, millions. And I document all that in the book. So we don't know where they came from. And another chapter is about, we don't know who they came from because they virtually turned off the signature requirements across the board. And so we don't know who or where they came from. Those are two big, big deals on millions of ballots. And we also looked into the patterns within the data and we saw all sorts of stuff that was happening there. We could go into that. We called it the drop and roll. And then, of course, we looked at the machines. But in every chapter, it ends with the same line: this election never should have been certified, period.
You know, what about all of the mail-in ballots that came from the same addresses and people didn't live there? So for instance, I'm in New York, and when the election came, I bought my house 6 years ago, and I received in the mail 8 mail-in ballots, myself and the 7 previous owners, which some of them I know for a fact are dead. Now, what would have stopped me from opening them up, voting 8 times, and sending them in? What would have stopped me?
Yeah, nothing. And actually, I have a chapter on that, too, where I talk about this canvassing that work that's been done since the election. And in almost every single state, it was done in Arizona, Missouri, some other states, they're coming up with about a 25% rate of ballots that are there's something wrong with them. Either they were from people that shouldn't have voted, or the people that did vote are saying, yeah, you know, I didn't vote or whatever. So right. They're all millions of ballots in that regard. So it's that's a whole story. There is these voter rolls, and I talked about it in my first book too. That system called ERIC that needs to be shut down. It's not. It's a repository of fake names now that can be used at any time by the left or a bad actor to steal an election.
And I'm sure it's this isn't the first one. It's not going to be the last election that was rigged and fixed and stolen. You know, you also have the people, and I know people that this happened to. They went to vote in person and they said, no, we have you as voted already. You voted already. Yeah. No. Yeah. And now what happens to those people that they're there to vote, and their vote was cast already. They've been stripped of their rights as Americans to vote who they truly wanted to be president or whatever election.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we're all conspiracy theorists, Joe, and we say that the election was stolen. But when Donald Trump won, the very next day, Nancy Pelosi, you know, the election was stolen. Hillary Clinton, the election was stolen.
Yeah, right.
She
called for a recall in those three states. And then Wisconsin, Trump, they recounted, he won. And Michigan, they started finding that in the inner city that there was more ballots counted for Hillary than there actually were ballots. And so they just stopped the recount in Michigan because of that. Right. And then in Pennsylvania, they just couldn't come up with enough. Trump won by 100,000 votes. And the first day, I recall, they came up with like 30,000 or something. But it just wasn't enough. That Trump won big. And I think that's what happened this time as well. It's just Trump really won big. And it became very clear that something bad is going on, something really bad. And could be the worst crime in U.S. or world history, really. I mean, slavery was horrible, things like that. But I mean, this is look at what's happened since Biden came into power. It's just
nothing good, nothing good. I went to a diner the other night and they charged me $1.50 for a side of brown gravy that I've been getting at this diner for the past 20 years. $1.50 for a small bowl of gravy. They don't even give me onion rings with the burger deluxe anymore because of it. Prices of everything going up. They used to put pickles and coleslaw on the table. They give you coleslaw. They can't get pickles. They've been out of pickles. I mean, it's like we're not living in reality.
I know. Yeah. I take my kid through to get a Happy Meal, and they're twice as much as they were before. I swear to God, you know, even just to go down the street here, I'm now in Florida, and there's an ice cream place, and we get some ice cream, and for three little cups of ice cream, it's like $20. You're like, man, what's going on here? This, you know, and this is Biden. This is all Biden. And I don't think these inflation numbers are even accurate. I think they're understated. It's unbelievable what the average person has to do. And then you see that people don't have, there isn't people there that are working. And these small companies that were prosperous in 2019 under Trump, the U.S. was on fire, have been hit so hard. And I've heard, you know, that a number of restaurants are on the brink of shutting down.
It's happening by me. It's happening near
all
me.
All over. And it's just, it's real sad. And it's not due to anything they did.
No.
They've done everything right, and they had a good business model, but nobody counted on the insanity that would happen, and really from 2019 forward, and those shutdowns that then some of these crooked governors like your Governor Cuomo, geez, what he did. I actually wrote a piece where I said he murdered people.
He did murder people. He was spanking fannies and murdering grannies, Joe. That's what he was doing in New York. You know, the nursing homes, and you know, we have Hochul now, who's like Cuomo in a dress. Honestly, she's I think possibly worse without murdering the grannies. But these people, these tyrannical leftists who shut down businesses or shut down economies, who instilled all these mandates on our children and people, are now asking for their jobs back. They want their jobs back. And what really boggles my mind is that there were people directly affected that are brainwashed by the media that don't see that it was their fault. And they're going to go vote and attempt to give them their job back. Like, I'd like to know what you think, what we're up against going into the midterms as far as irregularities and just the political climate in the country.
Yeah. Well, I think we're seeing it already. And as much as some people want to, you know, believe that, oh, it's going to be a different outcome. I don't, you know, the one clue is just think of how, you know, how the Democrats aren't scared.
No.
They're not freaking out about Biden's policies. They're not going to say they like him, but they're not freaking out. I mean, they're moving right along, and so there's certain that's a big indicator of what's coming on. I mean, trust your own eyes, trust your gut. That's the thing here we've had to do, especially with Gary Pundit. We're going to put up the truth, and we get challenged on it, but we get these bogus fact checkers, and I just think they're a joke now. I don't even respond to them anymore. And not that they ever would send us a message. Hey, I'm fact checking this, blah, blah, blah. We get maybe two or three of those. Right. And then we find out later all these nasty pieces where they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. They've got these immature little kids coming out of journalism school that don't know boo, you know, especially about numbers and stuff like that. And they're challenging us and calling us conspiracy theorists. It's like, no, you want to say just no, go to hell. You know, you guys are clueless on what's going on here. And day after day, we see that. And so, I think there's some high risk. Here's some situations that have already occurred. We call it the Raffensperger special. So we got this crook Secretary of State in Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, who nobody down there likes. You talk to anybody around, nobody likes him. Nobody can stand the guy. And I'm sure people believe that he is the reason for the stolen election there. And he is ultimately, he certified that election. He wins his reelection.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that happen? And then we see the Republican in governor re-win his election. And then we see one guy that Jim and I were talking about just this morning was this guy in the wheelchair in North Carolina.
Madison Cawthorn.
Yes. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. And we think, it's not likely that he lost that. I'm sorry. I don't think he did. And we certainly know with Tina Peters out in Colorado here recently, mm-hmm. she's running and there's this whole movie about her now that I highly suggest seeing. I saw it last weekend at Mike Lindell's event over the
weekend. What's it called? Do you know?
Yeah, it's called Selection Code. And I think
I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, it's only about an hour long, but it tells Tina Peters' story. And the lady was just a hero. She's a Gold Star mom, and she got into she became the election head of her county in Colorado. Thought everything went fine, even after the election, everything was fine. And then this one girl approached her, says, "We don't think things were fine. We want to talk to you." And Tina Peters just says, "Okay, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. I'm open-minded. Let me see." And the more she dug, the more she was questioning stuff. And then the corrupt George Soros-backed Secretary of State, this piece of work there, she says, "Oh, you've got to back up all your machines." And this happened across the board. It happened in Michigan, I know of. I believe it also happened in Arizona. And what these backups would do would be erase all the information on these machines. And we know that there's plenty of space for more information on these machines. It wasn't due to the fact that they needed more room on the machines and they had to get rid of data. That's a lie. We know this today. And yet that was something that they were saying for a while. We just need to update this. No, that was a lie, because what it did is it erased all the data. And fortunately, Tina Peters, and that's what this movie digs into, she made a copy before they came in and did their thing. And they came in early, they surprised her. All this is just really seedy stuff.
Yeah.
And then she talks about how she backed it up beforehand. And then they did, that's what the movie, that they started looking at her before and after, these snapshots of these systems. By the way, you can do a snapshot of these systems. And if you're a professional, a forensic specialist, maybe even just maybe an average IT guy with some knowledge, you're not going to damage any information on those machines. The machine won't even know that the picture's been taken.
Right.
And that's what they did. And another lie by the left saying, oh, you could damage the machines or the data. No, sorry, that's another lie.
They arrested
lie.
Her, right? They arrested her.
They arrested her on 9 felonies for doing that, something like that. And she couldn't even go to this Lindell thing over the weekend. They prevented her from going. And along with her was this other lady who first approached her. They went to her house too. The FBI went to both Tina Peters and this other girl's house, her name's Sharona, and you know, tore through them. And Sharona has a daughter who's now a teenager, and she was abused as a child. And they forced her, sexually abused, they forced her to stand on the porch in her underwear, the FBI did, while they went through her house, knowing what that would do to this child. It's just atrocious what our FBI is doing now. And it's almost as if they know it and they're doing it just to get a reaction out of you so they can arrest you for violence, because this stuff is so over the top. And so anyways, Tina decided to run for the Secretary of State, and some clown lady who didn't get any in the polling. She was nowhere to be found, and she happens to be connected to Zuckerbucks and that CTFL or CFL-CL or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I wrote about it, but she's a nobody, and she somehow wins that election in Colorado, the primary. So we know shenanigans are happening again, and so
it's not going to stop.
No, it's not going to stop. So to think that we're going to walk out of this, and I'm not saying we all need to vote, and maybe with a massive vote, we'll overwhelm this fraud. But we have to be more diligent about getting this stuff gone. And that's the thing that I was saying, and I think I wrote about this back in 2020, right after the election. If we don't address this now, this could go on for 1,000 years. Because yes. how do you overcome this? You know, machines yes. driving, and then you become, you know, these pawns of these monsters, you know, that are already like World Economic Forum talking about putting chips in our heads and stuff, crazy stuff. It's like, we have got to fix this now. I was talking to Pam Geller from out in your neck of the woods in New York, and she said a couple things to me. She said, one, the foundation, the bedrock of our democracy is our freedom of speech.
Yes.
But she said, but without free and fair elections, it's all just gibberish. And I just thought, boom, you know, you're absolutely right, Pam. It's and that's scary. Where we're at. We got to get this stuff fixed. We got to do it now. And we've got to figure out, like, for example, and Alan, I don't know what the answer is to this. But what happens in this next election if we're sitting on the next day and they won't let people into these arenas to see what's going on? What are we going to do? What's the answer there? Has anybody planned for that?
You know? That's a tough one because, you know, they were boarding up windows and not allowing people in.
It was horrible.
You got to stand 20 feet away. I can't see 20 feet away.
Maybe what we should say is if this happens again, we're going to ask for a re-election. And maybe that's the answer, because that is the only answer that I could come up with. There's no way this stuff could be counted. By the way, I just found out a couple weeks ago that in Arizona, when all those ballots were shipped over to that facility where they were doing the audit,
yes.
that all the boxes were unsealed, all of them except for one pallet. Now, I'm telling you, if that was me and I'm an auditor, say, okay, fine. We can't rely on this. This is all tainted, and we're not going to count it. And it's done. And I'm telling you what, if I went to a board of directors and went to the audit committee head and said, hey, by the way, I couldn't look at any of the ballots. It all been unsealed. They'd say, okay, what the hell happened here? And they'd be totally all over the management to ensure that this, find out what happened, who, how it happened, and how it's never going to happen again. And even with that, I'm thinking about writing this up. This is maybe some breaking news. But even with that, and here's the thing, too. Then they went on and spent months looking at these ballots.
Yeah,
they were tainted. That was a waste of time. And they could have probably ended that audit in a couple of weeks. But even with that, even without looking at the ballots because they've been tainted, and by the way, that is enough to decertify that election.
I agree.
You cannot rely on a single ballot in that election because all the boxes were unsealed. And so anyways, even with that, we had Dr. Shiva, who's from Massachusetts, come out to Arizona, and he looked at the ballot envelopes, that the absentee ballots come in. And there was like 9,000 missing. There was another like 17,000 that had duplicate signatures, two of the same signature. He identified that. That's enough to overturn the election right there. It was only a 10,000 vote margin. So why, you know, this thing needs to be decertified. I think that's the thing that needs to be done. And then we can decide what to do now. Right. It should have been decertified years ago, but I really think, yeah, these things never should have been certified, and we need to stand up for what's honest. We can't allow this to happen. This is like allowing crimes to, these guys, they stole a bunch of jewelry, like Trump says, and then they got away with it, and we know they did it, but we'll just let them have it. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And if it does happen again, what you say, what do we do? We don't know the answer to that question, but I will say that it's people like you and me and influencers out there who have platforms to send the message to the American people that it's the American people that cannot allow that to happen. So if it is happening, the American people have to stand up and say, no, this isn't right. Not just, certain people. No, we have to get out and vote and overwhelm the system. But if we see the shenanigans, we have to stand up. And I know that there are people on the left that feel this way about election integrity. They may not come out and say the election is stolen, but I've talked to some and they say, listen, there's obviously election irregularities. There's some things that aren't right that have happened or are happening. The mail-in ballots and the convenience of things and the inconvenience of things. And I also have Democrats that say, because of what happened and what's going on, I can't vote Democrat anymore. But the American people have to know it's us. We the people that have to stand up. And we're not saying, there's no call to violence here or call to arms, but this is our election system. And if something big happens again, whether it's the midterms, whether it's the next presidential election, I think you're going to see, like Donald Trump says it on occasion, you're going to see very, very bad things happen in this country. And I don't know what those bad things are. I don't want to imagine what those bad things are, but people are tired and people are pissed. They want to know that they're going to vote and that their vote is going to count. Uh-huh. And, there are too many people out there that don't have any confidence in our election system.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. They just shouldn't. I mean, if we certified this thing, there's no way you should believe it. And I'm telling you from a professional, that's what I try to say. This was my background. I was a professional in this area, and there's no way that I would say that this election ever should have been certified. No way. And multiple states, maybe across the board. It's just, there's just so much, there's so many gaps. There's so many, we found even some guys presented in Georgia, and they said in this whole process with the machines, well, the data comes in and then they take these little flash drives and they drive them across town and they hand them to somebody over here that consolidates them all into a machine. And by the way, in the corporate world, years ago, we got rid of flash drives.
Right.
We didn't want anybody coming in, putting a flash drive in our system that might give us a virus.
Sure.
And or somebody stealing our information. So flash drives are done. And yet this is the process that they're using for our elections.
What's to say they're not adding to the flash drive before they get to their destination?
Of course. Of course. And we saw this, and we saw this in Milwaukee on election night. That girl, she's there all alone by the machine. We don't know what she's doing. There's no dual control. She's standing there doing all this stuff. We see later that she has emails going back and forth with this guy from the election group, and he says, man, that's amazing how you get 400,000 ballots in the middle of the night to win the election, or something like that in an email. I wrote about it. It's like unbelievable. Then this lady, she goes across town with the police to drop these flash drives off. She realizes halfway, I forgot one. I got to go back and get one. So then she goes back and apparently gets the one that she left behind. And then they go back and drop all these things off. I mean, that alone is just a nightmare, right? But then what we find out from these guys in Georgia that, hey, right there at that spot, when they're loading all these flash drives into the system, there's a gaping hole for any bad actor where they can come in and they can do whatever they want, including basically, changing or stealing an election. And they noted that. And that's, I believe, why we're seeing all these patterns in the data that make no sense. And people can discount that, but I'm telling you from an audience perspective, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. And we need to find out why this happens. How come we get 135,000 or 45,000 ballots for Joe Biden only in the middle of the night? That doesn't make sense. You know, yeah. It doesn't at all. And we all know that. We all know what happened. Something happened. They inserted 145,000 ballots for Biden. And so, you know, of course, there's stuff going on that's just that never, you know, there's, and it's not just the machines have the hole, but then we also see evidence that the data has been tampered with.
Yeah, it's wild. I want to get your perspective on being that you are now, you know, a big media mogul going over to Gateway Pundit, which, again, I love. The mainstream legacy media and their manipulation and their complicity in the rigging of the election and the reporting. What's give me your take on that, the mainstream media and how they're all complicit in this garbage.
Well, yeah, we certainly know they just are lockstep together. The one thing I noticed since the election that just makes me sick every time I see it, and we still see it to this day, was immediately after the election, they started saying former President Trump. So that word had to be inserted everywhere. We never saw that before ever in our lives. Suddenly they're using the term former President Trump. And that was kind of an in-your-face thing, too. And then the other thing that they always used was debunked. President Trump's, you know, thoughts that his election was stolen have been debunked.
The big lie.
Or the false accusations of a stolen election. And they always add these terms just in an innocuous article or on whatever. They say this stuff in there. They have to insert the term, you know, false accusations of the stolen election. Debunked and you know, the big lie or whatever, but it's always there and it's disgusting. You got to ask yourself, why is it always there? No matter what organization, it could be a small publication in Arizona, Arizona Central or whatever. They could be using it, or it could be the AP, but they always insert these words, always.
So reading off the same script.
Yeah, is somebody editing their work and adding that, or what's going on? Because it's always there. And the thing is, I'm telling you, it's a lie. I'm telling you, it's a lie. These people that are saying that have no skill set at all on how to look at the election and audit it. I do. I've got a lot of skill set. Of course, I liked Trump. I'm telling you up front. But this election never should have been certified, ever. And these people don't have that skill set. I do. When I say it, I mean it. And it is accurate. Yeah. They're debunked stuff. That stuff drives me crazy.
My favorite is when Fox called Arizona. I think that was my favorite on election night. When they called Arizona really early. Brett Baer. Really? This is what we're doing?
Can you stand looking at that guy anymore?
No. Him and hey, is there any room over at the Gateway Pundit for Brian Stelter? I hear he's a free agent now. Maybe you could convert him, you and Jim.
Oh, my God. God,
you know, but the mainstream media doesn't stop. Like your brother just put out an article, I think today, about that I was reading earlier about now, of course, the mainstream media. This just blows my mind how now the mainstream media is starting to blame Donald Trump for the vaccines because vaccine dangers are now surfacing everywhere. So now it's all going to be Donald Trump's fault because of Operation Warp Speed. I mean, what world are we living in?
I know it is sick. It's so sick. But you know, we probably knew that was coming. I always thought these, you know, I don't know if I should say always. I've never taken the vaccine. I'm proud of that. Same with my family. No. I'm like, no, there's something there. There's something really sick about it. Especially now as we look back, it's like, my God, what's going on? And President Trump was, you know, he had some people giving him information that shouldn't have been given him information. And he had Birx and Fauci putting pressure on him. It's like basically his ultimatum was, okay, you either shut down the economy for a short period of time, and which they promised would deal with the issue, or you don't do it because it doesn't make any sense. And then you get accused of murdering every single person that dies from this China virus. And so Trump's, you know, there was only one logical solution for Trump, and it was to shut down. But he didn't expect them to continue with this, and he didn't expect people like Cuomo to shut down their states for good. And I don't know. I don't know. You can tell. Are you in New York City? I don't know what the economy is like there, but I can't imagine it's good. For one, we learned that maybe we don't need these big buildings and people can work from home. And two, these restaurants around New York had, you know, they shut down. Small businesses got crushed. So what's going on there?
Well, I'm outside of the city. I'm on Long Island in the suburbs. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's there was restaurants right near me that, you know, we're talking great places that had great businesses. The biggest issue is they can't find people to work. I mean, there's a restaurant that had no problem with business. It was right near the Long Island Railroad Station. It was a great location. It was an Irish pub, great food, great drinks, been open forever. All of a sudden closed its doors, has another location that's open, but had to close its doors because they couldn't find people to work, because they couldn't give people raises because they were getting, whether it's taxed, the price of goods are going up. And now there's another restaurant that couldn't get service. And you had the 80-year-old people that owned it that was working dinner service as waiters and waitress. Did the couple that owns it because they can't get people to work? Everything is expensive. Gas right now, gas came down a little bit. It's like $3.80 a gallon for regular. Uh-huh. But it did hit almost $5 in some places. Yeah. And yeah, I can go to my grocery store and I can spend $150 and literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm getting half of what I'm getting now for $150 than I was.
I agree. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
The one thing that you mentioned that nobody's really talking about enough is the fact that there's no employees. Where did they go? I mean, where did they go? All these businesses were functioning before. They had plenty of help. There wasn't a problem finding health. Where'd they go? And what we find out, I found one piece, and it came from Trump's former economist from New York. I really like the guy. He's got a show on Fox now. I even wrote about him this morning. I can't remember his name though. but he said, yeah. Oh, well, they changed the law basically, and they started giving people money to stay home.
Yeah.
And I don't think that has not been undone. Because that's why you can't find these small businesses. And it is such an evil thing because the small businesses are getting crushed. And I heard before, small businesses were like the backbone of America, man. These businesses were, there's so many of them.
Especially where I am, it's all mom and pops. You have your big box, it's all mom and pops. I know when you go down south, it's more chains, it seems. But here, we're talking delis, diners, pizza places, Chinese restaurants, small restaurants, even gas stations, mom and pops. And destroying businesses.
So this, so what is going on? So it's this is all a result of losing an election. You know, Afghanistan was just horrible. But everything's been horrible.
Everything.
It's horrible. And January 6th was horrible. And Mar-a-Lago here recently was horrible. It's just, the list goes on. These people are sick. And really, I think if you study history, you look at communist takeovers, this is like playbook stuff. And by the way, you mentioned earlier about the deep state in that time. Was it the Time magazine article about how did you bring that up about, anyways, in Time magazine, they brought up about how after the election, all these people were bragging about what basically happened.
Yes.
But there was one guy in this article that I wrote about in my first book. His name's Norm Eisen. He came out before the election. There was word that this guy's going to throw the election. He's involved in some stuff, basically a color revolution. Mm-hmm. And then after the election, the first person that's announced in this Time piece is Norm Eisen. And so, what is going on? We've got some bad people running this country.
Bizarre world. It's clown world. Let me end. I want to wrap up with your take on. I consider the Gateway Pundit decentralized media. You're independent. You're not these big legacy media outlets. And I always say objective journalism for mainstream media is dead. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. They're all news actors, you know, manipulated by big money, Soros and leftist corporations in China. But now your take on the importance of decentralized media, whether it's outlets like yourself or even the Epoch Times or even just regular Americans that have bigger and smaller like podcasts out there talking about the issues. What is your take on the importance of that?
It's everything, isn't it? It's where you're getting the truth today.
Yeah.
And it's also growing. I mean, that's you know, I haven't watched NBC, ABC, CBS in decades. I mean, their news channels in decades. I watched it growing up. I can't remember the last time I watched them. I watched Fox pretty much religiously until election night. And I haven't watched them since. I was so disgusted in their reporting. It just really had a lot of in-your-face stuff about Trump, and I didn't want to hear it. I never wanted to hear it. But to hear Cavuto on the Business Channel or Mike Wallace on the Chris or Mike Wallace on the Fox News Chris. Channel. I didn't want to hear it. They shoved these people in our faces, and Brett Baer, and it's like, I don't want to listen to them. I don't respect them. I find their reporting repulsive. I don't think they're honest. I think they've got an agenda. And that's what we had to listen to that night. And I've never followed them since. And Laura Ingraham the following night when she said, we just need to get better candidates after Trump gets 75 million votes. You know, I'm like, I haven't watched her since either.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of her either. I like Tucker. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Hannity anymore. But
I used to be.
Me too.
Now I haven't watched him since then. So it's now, 2 years. And it's like,
We need more decentralized media. And I tell everybody out there every time I do a show, you got to support decentralized media, whether it's subscribe somewhere, support a sponsor of theirs, something. Like I constantly will use the Gateway Pundit for information among, other outlets like Breitbart and things. But, I do share yours, although now I have to be careful. Like we spoke off air, Facebook nuked me twice because I decided to share some truthful articles from the Gateway Pundit, which literally were the truth. It's, I think you guys just are in the algorithm as really bad people.
Yeah. Right.
But in any case, Joe, where can, first I'm going to bring it up. Cause let's tell everybody where they could find your book, The Steal. I'm going to bring it up right here. There it is. This is the Amazon link.
Yeah, that's right. That's so you can grab it at Amazon in paperback or, online version of the Kindle and or Barnes and Noble as well. And so I appreciate people looking at it and reading it and sharing it, because I think what I'm trying to do here is provide a position that's well thought through from a professional who you can say, hey, this guy looked at it. He's done some stuff in the past. And he says this thing never should have been certified. And I think that's a softer way than saying it's the steal, but it never should have been certified. There's no way. This just so much stuff. It's just no way. All that stuff needed to be, it just needed to be thrown out. Everything that we couldn't rely on. And when you throw all that out, then you don't even have an election. You need to do it over. That's what should have been done.
I agree. So the book is The Steal, Volume 2, The Impossible Occurs. You go get it over on Amazon. Joe Hoft. You can get the paperback, the Kindle version. And obviously, you got to read Joe and Jim and all the contributors over at thegatewaypundit.com. Roger Stone writes there all the time. I always get a kick out of his stuff. He's a good friend. And, you got to support thegatewaypundit.com, decentralized media. Joe, do you have any social medias, accounts you want anybody to follow?
I've got a website, joehoft.com. I've got Telegram, Truth Social. I don't really do a lot of social media posting, to tell you the truth. I stopped on Facebook. I can't stand Facebook after all they've done. And Twitter, I got kicked off there. So, a lot of my stuff's just up on the Gateway Pundit,
Well, that's where everybody can go and get it then. Thegatewaypundit.com. We'll put the link in the show show notes. Joe, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about everything in your book. I love reading your stuff, you and your brother and everybody at the Gateway Pundit. I really appreciate having you.
Thanks, Alan. It's been great to be here. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. All right, everybody, get all the episodes over at thegreatdivide1776.com. Be sure to follow me over on Truth, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. And get over to the Gateway Pundit. You should be looking at their site every day because they really have insightful stuff. That's the truth. They tell it like it is. They report the news. And go check them out. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care.